Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Hutton Orbital Live. I'm your host for this evening, Harry, don't mind if I do, Balzac. And joining me at a sensible distance this evening, I blame the curry,
Wilmer, if you can think it, I've done it. Finger do.
Juan, no, it's not a bloody caterpillar. Care.
And I'm Norma. This epithet better not be rude or I'll hit you with my pan. Snookers.
And that's our crew. Time for some headlines. For those of you watching in black and white, the grey is behind the grey.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. Duval.
It is time for the lake on Sharabang.
Flossies are Wonder Woman.
The shunned, stunned, outbreak heartache.
And now for the BGS weather. Dull, with a chance of meatballs.
Pin back your luggles. It's Norma's Night Neighbourhood News.
And finally, Commander Alec Turner likes games. This much is well known. What is less public knowledge is that he's inordinately fond of bar games. Alec eagerly looked forward to a nice pint and maybe a game of darts when he arrived at the Vala Visitor Complex recently. A nice frosty pint, that is. After all, when it comes to beer in stomachs, it's always ice cold in Alec's. Well, you can imagine the twin blow, can't you? Not only won't the barman shut up about under-the-counter deals, which reminds me, quite frankly, with the amount of contraband goods those tapsters keep behind the counter, it's amazing that they have any room for beer. But there's not a dartboard in sight. Not a skittle alley, not a shove half-credit board, no bar billiards table, and three men's Morris is nowhere to be seen. But the less said about Morris, the better. Like truckers everywhere, Commander Turner is happy to work using the philosophy of if you build it, they will come, if only to stand around and laugh. So he decided to build the John Peel Memorial Pool Table. Unable to find steel balls, Alec was forced to improvise with 16 Guardian Orbs that he'd had to accept elsewhere in exchange for some dodgy videos starring Cecil from his Blue Period. Back when he was young and needed the money. Using his SRV and feet, Alec spent what we estimate to be a bit over 45 minutes collecting Guardian Orbs that he'd previously carelessly scattered around the complex and manoeuvring them into the bar, until at last he stood there triumphantly surveying his handiwork. Commander Alec Turner had done it. He'd created the galaxy's largest pool table. A triumph in anyone's estimation, and with only three small drawbacks. One, there were no pockets. Two, where the heck could you get a cue big enough to hit those balls? In any case, wouldn't it end up breaking the windows? And three, the balls were all of the exact same colour, meaning that any gameplay would only be exciting to the colourblind. Undeterred, Alex has vowed to continue in his quest to improve facilities in all of the bars in the bubble, and he's promised to introduce snacks such as Thargoid scratchings, which may of course lead to life-size space invaders being played on the planet, and Jenga to be played with stacks of Thargoid probes, once he's solved the corrosion problem to stop them melting through the floor.
Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The Pilots Federation have received complaints recently that the quality of the standard issue selfie stick left much to be desired, and that pilots eager to show themselves off in the best possible light were constantly getting into trouble when, click, Their camera came unstuck from their sick slick stick in a tick really quick. Lee. Pilots who used their selfie stick to show them walking elegantly around station concourses left getting blackouts on their camera, often leading to unexpected tumbles downstairs and blackouts of a more painful and bruisy kind. Worse fate still awaited those foolish enough to attach their selfie stick to the outside of their ship in order to catch the light of a solar flare glinting off their new ship kit, or to capture an image of their daredevil flying as they twisted and turned through those non-existent canyons, just as the stick got caught on some ground-based lifeform, and the screen went black, immediately before they collided with one of those non-existent mountains. Eager to reduce their insurance payouts, the Pilots Federation have vowed to improve matters by adding wireless technology to their selfie cams, eradicating the need for telescopic sticks altogether, thus removing the risk of a cable failing out of the camera at inappropriate moments. This boon to the weary but vain traveller is expected to fuel a vast increase in the upload of such interesting screenshots as, here's me in front of my asp, here's me in front of someone else's asp, here's me in front of some biological samples, and sorry about that one, I forgot to move my thumb. While shares in Galtube have shot up along with those in companies specializes in makeup for the face, the faceplate, and the cabin fascia.
This week, rumors about shortages of components required to build spaceships have started to emerge, exacerbated by the announcement that, at some point in the future, most pilots will be required to fit an extra seat in their cockpit, no matter how small or how cramped they currently are. Owners of Imperial Cutters are naturally incensed that they must share some of their football field-sized cockpit with yet another member of the human race, no matter how far away, whilst pilots of Imperial Eagles are nervously stocking up on underarm deodorant and little pine trees to hang from what would be the rearview mirror in any sensible arrangement. The Pilots Federation have not, at the time of writing, confirmed how this new arrangement of seating is destined to work. Will there be an extra pip for this incomer to play with? What will be their duties, assuming that most functions are already being taken care of, thank you very much? Perhaps this new position will be for the ship's catering officer, someone to refill the coffee dispensers, cut the crusts off the sandwiches, and make sure that the ice-making machine is functional at all times. We just hope that the redesign has taken into account necessary adjustments, such as the number of cubicles on board, as a queue for the lavvy in a small spaceship isn't very comfortable, nor very hygienic, and it's awkward when everyone tries to use the bathroom mirror at the same time. We are given to understand that if your ship is one of the types that will be required to fit an extra seat, then you will move up to another taxation class and there will be extra checks as you will have to declare your ship an SMO or a ship of multiple occupancy, and you'll need extra lockers, more fire escapes, spare flight suits and much more. All of this additional bureaucracy is precisely why you won't be seeing the new seats for some time to come. Here at Hutton Orbital, we have our suspicions about this new seat. Depending on where it's positioned, it may be like the front seats upstairs of an old double-decker bus, where you can sit looking out of the window, pretending that you're driving.
As you really should know by now, King Hanky's party at the end of the galaxy has been going on longer than the foreword to one of Commander Stroud's books. Most of the events that have taken place cannot be described in a family-orientated show. But as always, Flossie came to the rescue with a wholesome tale of larks, shenanigans, rescues of commanders who kept falling through the ship's trapdoors, ships with inappropriate loadouts, a fuel rat with a missing fuel scoop, disabled modules, though not the thrusters this time, luckily, and energy cells being used up at an inordinate rate due to Commander Flossie's tendency to talk for long periods. The highlight of the evening, though, has to be the presentation to Flossie by Commanders Rampage, King Hanky and Lou Snockers of a fully functioning all-mod-cons life-sized replica of Wonder Woman's invisible plane, plus full cosplay outfit. Lou and Hanky took turns jumping on the invisible plane whilst Flossie gamely donned the costume. We're not saying that Flossie really took to the Wonder Woman outfit, but she likes the way that the bracelets make her eyes sparkle. The lasso of truth might even replace her mighty pan. And with that outfit on, she may claim to be a pacifist, but those are powerful bazookas.
Pity poor Commander Westhorpe. After being released from the penal establishment, Pilgrim's Ruin, for the fourth time, where he was incarcerated as a result of his actions in trying to support the Shunned, and being instrumental in helping them to win the Civil War, more calamity has been heaped up the head of Commander and his chosen faction. Pestilence in the form of an outbreak is sweeping the colonies. Mods, that's Mug Ownership Deficiency Syndrome. Hutton is starting the inoculation process by sending Commander Westhorpe the radio mug that he earned last week, but that will not be enough. We are calling upon pilots who can get to the pencil sector EL-Y-D5 to assist in the decontamination. Take a mug if you can, but if not, basic medicines can stave off the worst ravages of mods until crockery-based relief can be applied. Earn mission points, money and the grateful thanks of a downtrodden faction as you put a mug on the table and a smile on their faces.
After the recent frisson of excitement with successive wars in VMS, outbreaks and lockdowns, this week has proven to be a pretty quiet time across Hutton space. Some might say a little dull, with most systems happy and some even elated. Narnia is suffering from an infrastructure failure, yet perversely its influence has increased. It can afford to lose some, so no need just yet to charge in there through the wardrobe and change the bulb in the lamppost, but there is a fleet carrier on station full of water purifiers if you really must. Pirates are trying their luck in Hill Pass Sai, so feel free to stop partying any time and go and sort them out. We have four systems below 40% this week. Barnard Star and Epsilon Eridani, both on 34, need immediate attention. Wolf 25 and Ross 671 are a little higher on 38 and 39. At the top end of the systems league, we have eight systems above 60%. We're expanding soon, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll retreat again some sunny day. Keep boosting in with LP532-81 out in front on 81%. Meanwhile, in Colonia, Raj put Hanky asked that Tuckers win the election against Mobius in Tyr and fix the infrastructure failure there while they're at it. Oh, and generally boost the other three as well. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star and Epsilon Eridani, and if you want to shoot something, engage the pirates in Hill Pass Sai.
Time to come bang up to date with events that have been organised by the community, for the community. Links to all these events will be posted in chat and in the description of the YouTube edition of this show. Firstly, it's Comfy Cannon Cruise News Time, sent by Commander Mephisto from his vantage point aboard the fleet carrier Khonsu, as the cruise continues to revisit the trail of the original Cannon Challenge, helping many explorers, but especially novices, go further and with a little more direction than the second star to the right and straight on till morning. Commander Mephisto writes, "The Comfy Cannon Cruise visited Waypoint 59 with its sparkly Q03 type anomalies after refuelling at Waypoint 58. Then a minor detour took the expedition to an impressive system with a black hole orbited by a white dwarf as well as two neutron stars. After 3 days of jumping, covering 30,000 light-years, Khonsu will reach waypoint 60 in the Sagittarius Carina arm, probably during this radio show. From there, more than 40,000 light-years away from Sol, the crews will explore the northeastern quadrant of the Milky Way next. Commander Yannick brings us an update from the Apollo 15 50th anniversary expedition, which in 3307 is obviously 1,286 years late. But we feel that at least their heart is in the right place. The eventual destination is the worlds of David and Goliath, but this week he tells us, the expedition has left the bubble far behind now. We're back into the black and new discoveries have picked up. But we're also encountering the systems mapped early in the present era of discovery, such as the famous Commander Alitnil, who found the Kinglong Caverns. It isn't just beautiful natural features we're seeing, but the artifacts of alien races like the Guardians. Our waypoint 5 was specifically laid out to further investigate the multitude of Guardian sites in this star system. Wonderful though this all was, there has been one nasty incident of note. A single troublemaker managed to somehow infiltrate the expedition's extensive security. The commander in question was thankfully an amateur and retreated fairly quickly. The damage to the expedition was minimal and we continue undeterred. This Friday sees the 50th anniversary of Apollo 15 landing on the moon. Its descent over the Apennine mountain range, flying between two mountains in a vulnerable spacecraft, must go down as one of the greatest feats of piloting in human history. This is our moment of celebration. We invite you all to watch on the moment with us. Or 7. The Rook platoon explores the Land Down Under expedition is about halfway on their trip via the Australis Ferris Wheel to the southeastern corner of the galaxy. And mission liaison, Commander Nicole Dyson, has sent us this report of their progress. On our way to the Australis Ferris Wheel, we had to cross the 6,000 light-years year gap between the southern arms of the galaxy. Notable Commander Richard Huranis, M, one of the main event managers, scouted this area for us, of which we are most grateful, and made our route waypoint on EDSM for any commanders that need to cross that void. On the way, we identified some previously discovered waypoints, like the farthest Earth-like from Sagittarius, recorded at the time at 44,802 light-years, Aeolus Hypei LX-B C16-0, and the Ringed Ammonia world with rings that actually spun, Wimley LN-B D0. This week, we finally made it to the Australis Ferris Wheel and we had a great time. It took us a couple of hours to find a good spot to take pictures and do some fertilised PvP as per our religion. The main waypoint of our expedition has been reached. From this point on, the three carriers of our expedition will follow different routes to the bubble. And lastly, Commander Hunter has contacted us via the sub-ether waveband about an initiative that's coming up this weekend. He reports, "Hello everyone, have you ever wanted to rescue a fellow pilot? Then this is your chance to get to know the organisation behind rescuing ships that need repairs badly, also known as the Hull Seals. Get to learn how to rescue ships that are in dire need of help out there in the black or even in the bubble. The New Pilots Initiative and the Hull Seals are organising a rescue training day on Saturday, August the 7th. All information and coordination will be held on our Discord, discord.gg/newp. Will you be the next Hull Seal recruit? See you there, 07. Commander Hunter told us about the event that he's involved in, and if you'd like to do the same and get your event included, you can contact us on Facebook, Discord, or just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com.
And finally, update 6 for Odyssey only dropped very recently. So here are just some headlines about the changes that we didn't have time to bring you tonight.
Patrols no longer look over their shoulder whilst walking, so we imagine that wall repairs should be reduced.
Enforcer troops have had their weaponry upgraded with KA-L6 rockets, apparently solely because of the incursions of certain Commander Rampage.
Super Cruise Assist will no longer slam you into a planet if you approach just a bit too fast.
Traffic wardens will no longer issue tickets in conflict zones.
Military ships will no longer interdict you just for fun. They will now have to at least pretend that there's a valid reason by scanning you.
There was something about females complaining about lack of thrust, but details are sketchy at this point.
Engineer Kit Fowler has had his wrist slapped and told not to be greedy.
Flashlights can no longer be used to distract the enemy by making them think they've entered a red light district.
Commander Chix's invisible rocks and organics have finally had a coat of paint and should now be visible.
Agricultural planets no longer have onion head in the atmosphere, which should reduce the occurrence of floating fences and lampposts.
The oh-so-handy issue of ammo and heat sinks being replenished by galactic pixies each time you went into Super Cruise has been resolved.
And finally, Commander Sally has been declared the all-time best presenter of patch notes, and we vote that she gets the job for life.